Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, happy Thursday. The unfolding investigation that has taken down two of President Trump's closest advisors and continues to bring more political pressure onto the president himself has prompted some national GOP leaders, Meredith, to advise candidates in competitive races across the country to distance themselves from the president and to even speak out about the wrongdoing that is surrounding him. Do you think Representative Bruce Poliquin in this case is listening to those voices, or do you think that he should?
Ah, great question. And of course he's listening. Everybody's listening, trying to do the best thing that they think for their district and their constituencies. Where Trump took the second district 2 years ago, so it would be really hard, I think, for Representative Poliquin to really do much more than certainly, you know, talk about some of the issues that they share and maybe draw some differences, perhaps in style and all that. But it would be too far, I think, for him to go out and actually speak against Trump.
Cynthia, same question.
I think that the corruption surrounding the president and the administration is getting to the point that it is going to become an election issue. And I do think that Bruce Poliquin is going to be pressured to make a statement. I think it's more interesting, though, in the first congressional district, what the procedures down in New York and in the Manafort trial will do to that race, because Shelley Pingree, of course, is a Democrat and is, I think, you can count on her to be a check on the presidency if there is an impeachment proceeding. I think people know that Shelley would, I think, be a yes vote if there was evidence, like it looks like there might be, whereas Marty Grohman, who's now aligned with Republicans and has the backing of LePage, I think he is going to be pressured to take a stand. And it's going to be interesting to see whether he's willing to say, yes, I will stand up and vote against Trump, when that may turn off Republicans in Maine who, like Meredith said, are obviously in the second congressional district, he was more popular. But the Republican base, I think, might question him, and Marty Grohman needs Republicans if he's going to win. So it's really is going to impact the race the more the corruption becomes a major theme in the news, as we're seeing.
Well, speaking of corruption, Cynthia, Democrats are being urged by some of their leaders to shift their midterm messaging to target Republicans as fostering a culture of corruption. Is that a phrase we're going to start hearing?
Oh, I mean, self-dealing plutocrats. I mean, that it's unregulated greed. It's the message from all of these convictions about these, just so much money involved, and just the arrogance and the greed, and the white collar criminals just dropping like flies. All of them in such close proximity to the president, including his own lawyer. I think we are going to hear that, and I think it's going to resonate.
Dick, is Bruce Poliquin listening, and do you think he should respond to this?
Bruce Poliquin has had a tendency through his time in office to stay more in the background, I'd say, on issues and controversies that arise, you know, rather than step up and speak with strong convictions. I might predict that he's going to do that again, and certainly his first TV ad being a negative ad sort of, you know, again, is sort of not talking about what he is about, what he cares about with conviction. And I think that's his weakness and his vulnerability right now, is that you just don't have a clear sense of what his agenda is to accomplish for Maine and for the country. So I think the answer to your question is he probably is not going to be out there on too strongly on one side or the other to avoid offending someone. But frankly, I think that's a mistake for him.
Issue two, GOP Senator Susan Collins of Maine met with Trump Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and emerged from that meeting with the conclusion that Kavanaugh believes Roe v. Wade, Cynthia, is, quote, settled law. She described the meeting as productive and informative. What do we take from this?
I think Susan Collins got what she needed in terms of moving forward with the Kavanaugh nomination with respect to the abortion issue. He said the magic words, the incantation that Roberts said, that gives some assurance that they're not going to go willy-nilly and overturn Roe versus Wade. I think, though, that Senator Collins, she's never voted against any Supreme Court nominee. Brett Kavanaugh, regardless of whether you agree with him, he has all the credentials that a Supreme Court justice needs. So it's all, I think, it should be expected that she's going to support him. What I think is more important, though, going into this nomination process now, in light of what we just talked about, is not so much the Roe versus Wade issue, but rather whether Brett Kavanaugh agrees that the president is immune from criminal, you know, liability when he's in office. I mean, the abortion issue gets talked about a lot, but I think that the more interesting issue now that we have this culture of corruption around the Trump administration, all these prosecutions, the Mueller investigation, I think the more important thing that people might wonder about with respect to Brett Kavanaugh is his position on indicting the president.
Meredith, is it a given that Susan Collins will support Brett Kavanaugh?
I absolutely don't think it's a given by any stretch of the imagination. Having said that, I do believe that Susan probably did hear what she needed to hear. However, I believe that she is still very much weighing the answer to that big question, and she has said she is not going to make a decision until after some of the public hearing, which will occur in September. So she will be entertaining and listening and all of that. The point that Cynthia brings up is an interesting one. A lot of the opponents to this Supreme Court nomination have really hung their hat completely on Roe versus Wade. And interestingly enough, I saw some polling that's really not exciting large groups of people. So it'll be kind of interesting to see if, in fact, there is some sort of switch in strategy as we turn the calendar over into September.
There's no question that this nomination has added to the sense of polarization in Washington. I mean, I don't know how it worked exactly before, but it seemed like there was a different set of criteria. It's now as if court picks are in the general political discussion, you know, the general political climate, which has gotten ugly and unattractive and divisive. And before, it seemed like court nominations had a certain integrity that was distinct from that. And this is just another example of how that's changed.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, see you next week.